This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Dr. Maria Sampalas, and welcome to Corporate Optometry Nation podcast, where we interview eye care professionals in corporate optometry and take a different approach to a business aspects of optometry. Hi, this is Dr. Maria Sampalas with Corporate Optometry Nation. Today we have Diane Diaz from the brandteacher.com. Diane, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. So, well, first of all, thank you for having me today. I'm excited to talk to you about personal branding. So I'm Diane Diaz. As you said, my company is The Brand Teacher, and I work with professionals and entrepreneurs to help them leverage everything that makes their personal brand unique so they can grow their careers or their businesses.
Yeah, I think this is a really important topic. That's why I wanted to have you on the show and give some doctors some points that they can use to grow their personal brand and grow their business as well because of it. It's a very important concept to understand.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, personal branding applies to literally everyone from professionals like optometrists to entrepreneurs who started their own business to stay-at-home moms. It literally applies to everybody.
Yeah, I think it's also important to point out that it's not just doctors that are self-employed, but optometrists that are employed by a corporation or by another doctor. I think personal brand is something they can't avoid in that they need to kind of build that from the first day when they get out of school.
Oh, for sure. Because, you know, patients are coming to them and they're building the relationship with them. And so it's important that they build that personal brand so that they're making the connection with the patients, because, you know, eventually if they do go out and start their own thing, then they're going to want to have that relationship built so that they're sort of drawing people to them.
Yeah, I think that's very important, especially with working in a lot of these corporations that bring in high volume. They're able to get their personal brand out there to talk to different patients and have their name out there as well. Faster than probably starting out cold or starting in a slower practice.
Oh, absolutely.
Every person has their own personal brand, whether they know intentionally build it or not. Being intentional in how you build your brand comes across to your audience is important. Can you give us some more information on that?
Absolutely. So when I work with my clients and we're talking about, you know, how they're coming across to their audience, it's about, well, number one, the first thing is about defining what your goals are. So depending on where you want to take your brand, right, if it's working for a corporation that you don't own, or if you're going to start your own thing, identifying what those goals are is the starting point. And then it's about identifying how do you want to be seen so that you can achieve those goals. And not only how do you want to be seen, but how are you actually being seen right now? So it's understanding how does your audience see you so that you can do the things with your personal brand you need to do to be seen in a way that's going to take you to your goals. So, in, for example, if you do want to start your own practice, how do you need to be perceived as a thought leader in that space so that you can do that and that your personal brand will then support you having your own practice?
Yeah, those are important points we point out. I think for young docs that come right out of school, sometimes how a patient might perceive them in that space compared to an older doctor aren't. So they need to be able to present their clinical skills and strengthen their communication skills to get the point across that, you know, they're the doctor to see and they have the knowledge to be able to treat the patients and see their whole family as well.
Absolutely. And so someone like that is building their personal brand, not only with the patients, but they're building their personal brand with that organization, whoever has hired them, or who, you know, if there's people above them, or even with their staff, right? So when you're branding yourself, it's not just with your customers or clients or patients, it's also with the internal team members, because all of those people see you or can see you as the thought leader in the space. And that's what you want. And that's how you want to be seen in order to build your practice. So whether you work for a big company that you don't own, or you have your own thing, you're branding yourself with all those audiences.
Yeah. I want to quote Marla Tabaka. It says, if you don't brand yourself first, someone else will brand you.
Oh, yes.
That's a powerful quote. If you can give us some insight on that and what you think and what doctors can take from that.
Yeah, that's a great quote, because there's a person in the branding space by the name of Marty Neumeier who says that your brand isn't what you say it is, it's what others say it is. And so that quote that you read speaks to that, because we can think we're coming across one way, but our audience is perceiving it a different way. And at the end of the day, your brand is how your audience perceives you, because perception is reality, right? So how your audience perceives you is your brand. So for example, if I think I'm fun and outgoing, but my audience perceives me as being kind of standoffish and serious, well, then that's my brand, right? So it's important to take control of that so that your audience is seeing you the way you want to be seen, again, based on what your goals are. Because if you don't control that message and send out those signals to influence how they see you, they're going to create their own stories about what your brand is.
That's very true. I think also reputation by association is very important.
Oh, yes.
I think optometrists need to understand that the companies that they work with have a lasting impression on their career. Mm-hmm. The way that an optical presents itself in the optical community reflects upon the doctor. And even within the staff that they have within that office as well is important for building your own personal brand. You know, ODs need to be aware of positive and negative connotations within an optical. Mm-hmm. And consider that as a very important aspect of employment, especially new grads coming out of school that want to kind of leave their mark in the community.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, when you work for a company, and this is true of anyone, and also of optometrists, so when you work for a company, you're co-branding with them. So your personal brand combined with that company brand, they kind of rub off on each other. So if that company brand has negatives associated with it, that's going to reflect on your brand. And by the same token, if your personal brand has negatives, that's going to reflect on that company, right? So you definitely want to think about what that brand is that you're going to be working for and that company, and what are the things about it that can rub off or reflect back on your brand? Because when you do that, you're co-branding together.
Co-branding is important. I think it's also with employees as well.
Yes.
If you're not in the same alignment with the vision that you want, what you want to portray your business as, I think that's important as well. A lot of optometrists just go in and see, you know, certain hours or payment, mm-hmm. and they just make decisions based on that. I think branding for an employer is huge, I think, for a lot of optometrists, and they need to take that into consideration. A lot of doctors don't. There's a lot of hidden value, I think, working for a big name brand. It's also great for networking and things like that, just to get your name out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about negative reviews online? I mean, that affects personal brand as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, first of all, when you have a presence online, you want to, ahead of time, before you might get negative reviews, have some sort of a policy as to how you're going to handle them, because it's going to happen. You literally cannot please everyone, right? Someone at some point is going to be dissatisfied for some reason. So you want to develop a plan ahead of time for how you're going to address those things. But when you have an online presence, you should have someone who's monitoring that online presence for things like negative reviews. And, you know, you never want to get into sort of a war or battle with someone who posts a negative comment, because more than likely, I mean, there are people who are what are considered trolls who go around posting negative comments just to get people's ire up. But by and large, they're usually legit, you know, concerns that people have, and then they post them because they're upset and they just want to be heard. So my recommendation for things like that is to try to handle it. Like, try to, you know, connect with the person and see if you can address whatever the concern is. When you have online negative comments, it's great if you can respond online, of course, in a positive way. You never, ever want to come back with it. If they post it in an angry way, you don't want to come back like that, right? You just want to be professional, express that you know, care about and are concerned about your patients and that you want to address the concerns, and try to figure out how to sort of diffuse the situation. And, you know, depending on what the situation is that they're posting about, try to, you know, if you can take it offline and rectify it. You know, if it's something they didn't get good service, that the product they purchased from you was broken or whatever, you know, you do have to address it. But you do want to, my biggest recommendation is just to have a strategy ahead of that happening, because that's always, whenever you're responding kind of in the moment, it's hard. But if you have a strategy ahead of time, then you'll know. And then whoever's on your team that's handling that will know how to handle it.
Yeah. I think those are important, because online reviews are important. A lot potential patients are looking at that online to see if they want to come to your office.
Absolutely.
But they're also looking at from the optical side as well. So sometimes if your office has great reviews, but the optical has negative reviews or vice versa, that affects both sides of the business. So yes. I think just being on watch and carefully trying to build a reputation online is important, but seeing them as opportunities to make better adjustments to your business or the optical side, just working together as a team to see what works better.
Absolutely.
And what you can build from it.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And you can use those, you can actually use feedback from those reviews to, like you said, to improve your business, because, you know, online, people sharing their views online is actually a goldmine of information for you to make your business better, right? And make the service better. And so it really should be looked at in that way as a kind of a wealth of information. It's almost like a focus group in a way.
Do you feel that Facebook pages are great for personal branding for optometrists, or do you feel that LinkedIn is the hidden gem that a lot of doctors haven't, you know, pursued?
I think it kind of depends. You know, there's sort of nuances to both. So I like LinkedIn from the standpoint of it building credibility for your brand, because it is a professional networking platform. And I honestly, my opinion is that everybody working needs to have, in any field, needs to have a LinkedIn profile. And then, of course, if you do own your own practice, you can create a LinkedIn page that you connect to your profile, so that a business page, so that you're getting kind of more exposure for your brand in that way. So that's important in that way. However, from the standpoint of being visible to your audience, if your audience, you know, depending on the demographics, if they are on Facebook, it is good to have a Facebook page. Understanding, of course, that all of that takes time, right? And somebody to manage it. And you want it to be consistent with your branding and everything. And of course, Facebook changed their algorithm recently so that, you know, Facebook pages aren't going to get as much exposure. But if you have a savvy practitioner who's doing Facebook Lives or has a marketing person who's doing that, then it can get exposure. So it just depends on kind of what your goals are and who your audience is, you know, who your patients are, like what the demographics are, as to where you want to be, meaning what platforms you want to use.
Facebook is huge for like influencing what you want people to see and what your target audience is. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit on that and what doctors should focus on to influence, you know, potential patients?
Well, so first of all, I should say I'm not a Facebook marketing expert, and that is a very niche sort of field, because there are people who really specialize in that. I guess from a branding standpoint, though, what I would say is that any platforms that you create, Facebook included, you just want to make sure that everything is consistent. So whatever, you know, the look and feel and the messaging and the contact information, there really needs to be consistency, because consistency across platforms builds trust. So when we go to your LinkedIn business page, and then we go to your Facebook business page, and then if you have an Instagram page, and we see these consistent images and messages, we know it's you. We know that it's, you know, we're getting the same information about who it is. That builds trust, and people do business with people whom they trust, especially doctors, because it's a very sort of intimate, you know, relationship. So I would say with regard to that, make sure things are consistent. And if you're going to put time into creating, you know, a Facebook presence, you just really want to make sure that you have time to manage that. My rule of thumb is to try to be a rock star on a couple of platforms instead of being mediocre on a bazillion platforms, because it takes a lot of time. So I don't recommend trying to be everywhere. Again, identify who your audience is, where they spend their time, and then be there. But then you have to think about consistency as far as the content you're putting out, because people, you know, they'll check you out, but if there's not consistent content that helps to either educate or, you know, share with them something they need to know, like tips on eye care or whatever it is, they're not going to keep looking for that information, right? And again, with Facebook pages, Facebook has changed their algorithm so that, you know, they're trying to put more friends and family content in our news feeds versus company content. So you really do have to start doing live videos and things that create engagement like that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we just did a podcast on marketing their practice.
Okay.
And so I just like to tie it together with personal branding, because I think both go hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely.
And presenting an image to a patient. And yeah, the frictionless experience between the different channels is important. You know, so Facebook is great for marketing and personal branding. And we might see a change in the industry with more Instagram as the years go on.
Right.
So I think even for like growing a business, LinkedIn might not be where your target audience is.
Right.
But LinkedIn is very important, I think, for optometrists to join and be out in the industry and just networking with other optometrists as well. a personal brand for us as an optometrist in the industry. So
absolutely,
that's an underutilized channel. So I think that's a very important platform.
I would totally agree with that for sure. And it, again, it lends credibility to their level of professionalism, because the people, I always go to LinkedIn and check people out that I'm going to do business with, even doctors. I go to their LinkedIn profile because I want to see if they're legit, right? So I want to see what their credentials are, and I want it to match up with what they told me about themselves or what they had on their website. So it is a way to create that legitimacy and credibility for your brand as a doctor.
I think another important part about LinkedIn is that a lot of doctors don't realize is if you allow it to be public on Google, mm-hmm. that when patients search you on Google, they'll see that. So they'll see your accomplishments, they'll see your volunteer work, they'll see your, you know, where you graduated from and any awards that you have. So yes. I think that's also important as well. So
that's a really great point you make, because I always encourage all of my clients to open up their LinkedIn profile so that everything is public, because especially, you know, if you're building a practice or even just building your brand so that later on you can build a practice, you do want to get found. And LinkedIn is very, very, very Google friendly. So your, like you said, your LinkedIn profile will come up in searches. And then, like you said, people can see your credentials there. So it just is a great way to get found, to have your brand out there. It's super Google friendly.
Great, great. How do you feel that personal brand helps doctors build their practice? Why do you think it's important?
Well, I don't think people, first of all, consumers of all types, whether they're shopping for a doctor, eye doctor, you know, a person to cut their hair, whatever they're shopping for, consumers are very savvy. And people know how to check things out online. They know how to look for reviews. They know how to look for information. And we also, as consumers, have become savvy in that we can spot things that are not authentic. And if it doesn't resonate with us in some way, we move on to the next thing. As consumers, we have information coming at us 24/7, right? With all these different, our phone and our computer and the TV, it's everywhere. And we only connect with things that resonate with us. The things that are true for brands, like brands we buy, like clothing and shoes and things like that, the same thing is true for people. So we tune out information about brands that don't connect with us on a deeper level. It's why you see, you know, these emotional or funny commercials in the Super Bowl, because they want to connect with you. So for people brands like optometrists, you know, it's they're also trying to build that personal connection and make some sort of connection that resonates with the customer. So building your personal brand in a way that it's human and it speaks to people, because people do business with people, not with faceless companies. That's where personal branding can take you to sort of the next level. Because listen, there's a ton of optometrists, right? Like, we can choose anybody, but the one thing you have that the other optometrist does not have is your personal brand. And the way you do it, and the way you message it, and the way you talk to your patients. Only you have that, right? So messaging that to make that human connection can help you build those relationships that build trust and that bring more of the right fit patients to you.
Yeah, I feel that doctors are very concerned about the future of optometry and patients going online. Yeah. Within corporate OD, the optometry publication that we have on the corporate optometry website, we talk about emotional branding,
yes.
and how it can differentiate your practice from another practice, and just trying to make a connection with the patient, mm-hmm. and just trying to identify their concerns and how it can relate to you. So you can talk to a patient and they're concerned about cataracts, mm-hmm. and you can just say, you know, my grandmother went through cataracts. This is what I would do if you were my grandmother. I think making that connection really gets a patient connected to you. And a human level, I think, is really important. It's an important factor that a lot of doctors don't realize. And patients want to have that personalized experience. And what would you do if you were a family member? That's the kind of care that I'm going to give you.
Yes, exactly. And because, you know, we can go online and get things now. And, you know, but with something like your health, if you know that you're getting that personalized service and that there's a human connection, and it's more than just, you know, more than just, oh, I'm revenue. I'm actually a person. And I have a problem I'm trying to solve, and this human is trying to help me solve it, legitimately concerned about me, now you've got me, right? Because now it's more than just solving a problem. I go from solving a problem to doing something that's changing my life in some way, and this person's helping me do that.
Yeah, storytelling is very important. I think that a lot of doctors don't realize, whether even they're just talking about themselves. And I think that plays huge into personal branding, because you can take that and place it on your websites. You can place it on your Facebook, incorporate it and make it consistent, like you said, because that's personal branding, is being consistent and making it in your practice and on the website and on Facebook, Instagram, whatever you want to do, all consistent. That storytelling, the target audience or the thing you're trying to target for your patients is important. Can you tell us a little bit about storytelling and how that plays into personal branding?
Absolutely. Yeah. Storytelling, you know, storytelling is a technique that allows the brand, so in this case, the optometrist, to go beyond just functionality or the service that they offer. So beyond just an eye exam and glasses, you get at what is the real thing we're connecting with the patient on. So yeah, it's an eye exam and glasses, but if you make it personal and tell a story, it could be that you're allowing a grandmother who has cataracts to now see her brand new grandbaby, right? Now, isn't that so much more emotional than just, oh, I need to get my cataracts fixed? Yeah.
That's right.
Right? It's such
you need to make a connection.
Exactly. Yeah. It's such a stronger connection. So when you can help the potential or prospective patient to see him or herself in the story and how what you have to offer can change their life in some way, when you do that and help them see that, and they put themselves in the story of how your brand's going to solve that problem for them, now you're making that deeper connection with your brand and helping them. You're helping them, but you're also helping, you know, helping your brand, because you're building the bridge between just the functionality to the actual change that it makes in their world. And that for them, that's impactful. And that's how you build a much stronger connection than just selling a product or service.
That's right. Even if it's something like near simple as prescribing glasses every day.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a new child, you know, their child's getting glasses. You just talk about your own family or something that you're passionate about, and just relating it to the patient, I think, is important. That's storytelling, emotional branding, personal branding, all bringing it together.
And yes, absolutely.
That are. These patients are very loyal, and that builds trust and that builds a personal brand, and word of mouth referrals are huge.
Absolutely. You know, I've been going to my eye doctor for probably 20 years, and she is really good at the personal branding. She and I will have conversations, and we're not even, you know, seeing each other for that long of a time when I go for my exam, but we have these personal conversations. So to me, she's a human being, not just this kind of doctor in the ivory tower, right? And so I will never switch, because I know she gets me. And recently she actually, I had some stuff with some styes in my eyes, and she had me come in when she was closed, because I've been going to her for so long. That's the level of service I expect, and that's what she gave me. And that's why I'm loyal, because she's human. She's kind of, you know, she is part of my story, right? About for my eye health, she becomes part of my story, and I won't switch, because she's going to give me that level of service always, right? And so I want that. I want that personal connection. Could I go to someone else and maybe pay less? Maybe, but it's not about that, right? It's about that service. It's about taking it from beyond just solving the problem to really just making it an experience for me.
Yeah, the experience is important. What do you think about, you know, some opticals are talking about like value and trying to be the lowest price and targeting certain patients. If you're a doctor in that setting, I don't think that you need to be the lowest price eye exam to attract patients. What is your experience on that? And how does a doctor build a personal brand where they're in a setting where it's a value optical, but they want to build a patient base and make a comfortable living?
Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly price is a consideration in your marketing efforts, of course, but you never want to differentiate based on price, meaning that when you try to say, okay, my brand is different because we offer the lowest price, well, then if someone else undercuts you, a competitor undercuts you, now you don't have the lowest price. And if that is the only factor upon which your brand was different, then you don't have anything. That's it. So low price is a very slippery slope. It's kind of a race to the bottom, actually, if you do that. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't value-oriented brands. There are, but there should be something else there. So people will pay more for any product or service as long as the perceived value is clear. So, for example, and this isn't related to eye care, but I have USAA for my car insurance, my banking, you know, my renter's insurance, everything. I pay more than I could probably get from another competitor, but I know that the value that I'm getting is worth the added cost. So if the value is clear to me and I know that I'm getting what I'm paying for, I'm willing to pay more and I'm loyal to them because they always deliver. So the perceived value is very high. So the extra cost to me is worthwhile. As long as you can demonstrate that extra value. So for example, for an optometrist, I'm just making this up, but supposing they have a lower price point, but maybe they also pick up their elderly patients from an assisted living place and bring them to the, so they might be able to bump up their prices a little if the perceived value is that I'm getting more than just an eye exam and eyeglasses and all of that stuff.
Yeah. I think with that, with like walk-in traffic for doctors that work in a mall setting, sometimes patients will pay a little more for knowing that they can get an exam, you know, within the same
right day. Away. Yes.
It's more convenience for them. Sure. Some of them will pay more because of the technology and the perception. Mm-hmm. A lot of offices have great new technology that they market to the consumer that they say that is only specific to a certain company. Patients want that. I think that's important too. And I think that doctors need to understand their own value and that you know, being the lowest price eye exam doesn't necessarily bring a huge volume of patients in, but doesn't also create loyalty.
Correct. Well. That's absolutely right. And in fact, it creates, it actually creates sort of price shoppers, right? And then they hop from one to the other to get the lowest price. And so you're never going to get that loyalty.
Yeah. The experience I think is very important in what people will pay for. Do you think like Dunkin' Donuts versus Starbucks is a good example?
I do. I mean, although Dunkin' is slightly less expensive than Starbucks, that isn't what they hang their hat on. What they hang their hat on, I mean, it's in their tagline, America runs on Dunkin'. So it's the convenient and quick choice, right? And so whereas Starbucks is all about the ambiance and the experience that you're buying. So there are two different brands that are beyond what the functionality is, which is a jolt of caffeine. You can get that from either one, but you're with Dunkin', you're buying sort of that convenience and quick service. And with Starbucks, you're buying the experience, the cachet, the belonging to the Starbucks tribe and all of that. So it's not about price for either one of them. And actually, well, maybe for Starbucks, it's a little bit about charging a little more because people feel that they're getting the value, right?
Yeah, they're getting an experience as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think even with optometry, with there was 1 hour labs, patients would be willing to pay a little more for something like that or have the convenience of it to be have their glasses within an hour.
Quickly. For sure.
That was important to a lot of patients. I think doctors just need to figure out what they want their practice to be. It can't be everything.
Yes.
It just needs to be what they want it to be and focus on that and understand that it's a certain audience. It's not going to be everybody. They can't get everybody, but they need to figure out what they want in their practice and how it relates to the opticals marketing efforts and what their brand is too. It has to be the same, very similar brands, I think.
Yeah. And you know, you made a good point. They can't appeal to everyone. I always say that brands are meant to both attract and repel. So the more solid you are in what you want your practice to be, the more you probably are going to repel some people because they're not going to want to, that's not going to resonate with them, but that's okay. Because more of the people that it does resonate with will come to you when your brand is very clear and it's clear who you're talking to, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you think personal branding is important, whether you work in your practice or work in like a business like Walmart or Costco's?
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, I think personal branding is important for everybody, no matter where you work and no matter what industry you're in, because at the end of the day, your personal brand is really all you have, right? So if you leave a company, so if an optometrist is working in a big box shop like that, and then they leave that company, all they have is their personal brand. And you've got to have something good to then build upon. So it's important for everyone.
Yeah. I think a lot of optometrists need to build a personal brand. If they're, let's say, sublease a leasing space, they don't want to be known as the doctor at Sears or doctor at Walmart. They want to be known as Dr. Sampalis's office or Dr. Smith's office. So they recognize your name. I think that's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you leave that location, hopefully your patients will follow you if you've built that connection through storytelling and through, you know, having a solid personal brand and a clear message and all of those things, then your patients will follow you because they're loyal.
I think even if you stay within the setting too, just to build that will also create more demand for you to your office. Yes. And a different persona in the industry as well, within the community to build that personal brand, even if you decide to stay, I think. But in general, yeah, to be able to have a personal brand within a corporate setting is very important. And to be co-brand, like you said, but have your own personal brand to, you know, this is how we want our patients to perceive us. You know, if there's a negative connotation at another optical that might be a mile, 2 miles down, that within the same corporation, that you're mm-hmm. able to differentiate yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So the two brands, the individual and then the company, those brands, they're co-branded and they should support one another, but they don't have to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. They should fit together, of course, but the individual, the doctor, needs to have his or her own brand. And like you said, that will help them stand out even in that big box environment.
It's very important. Yeah. Because you can have the same doctor, same doctors within the same company. And mm-hmm. if there's negative connotation from one doctor, you don't want that image right. to be portrayed in your practice. So I think that's yeah. important as well. So internal branding, how your employees come across to patients, I think mm-hmm. is important. Or even how the optical staff responds to patients is important to building your personal brand. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Internal branding is something that is integral to the success of your brand, your company, you know, if you own the company or the company, even if you don't own it, frankly, those employees, even if they're not someone who's, you know, right at the counter dealing with the patient, they're still impacting the experience, right? And, or they're impacting the experience of the other employees, which can then impact the experience. So having your entire team understand what the experience is that you want to deliver to create this brand and to understand how it's messaged and how, you know, what is, for example, what is the vernacular we use to talk to patients? You know, just like at Starbucks, you don't order small, medium, and large, you order a tall, grande, venti. That's their language, right? So when you have a brand that you're building as an optometrist, you want to understand and you want your internal team to understand, this is how we deal with patients. This is what we do when there's a misstep. This is how we handle it. This is how we, you know, handle special requests, whatever it is. But you want to have that all worked out so that your entire team buys into this is the brand and this is how we deliver it. Mm-hmm. Because if you have one person that sort of falls down on the job, so to speak, you know, creating kind of they'll create a disconnect with the customer or the patient, that can erode the trust in your brand. And I've had it happen personally at doctor's offices where I actually have had talks with doctors about yep. how their staff is not helping their brand, right? So, you know, it's important because the doctor and the nurses, they can all be amazing. But if the office staff, they're the ones dealing with the patient, checking them in, checking them out, taking their money, if that's a bad experience, they represent the doctor's brand.
That's right.
So the patient just says, oh, I don't want to come here anymore because I don't like that doctor.
That's right.
But it's based on that experience.
I've always said that the doctor is only as good as their team. So
totally.
If the front desk is answering the phone, making the appointment, checking the patient in, checking them out, you know, dealing with any issues they might have, follow-up calls. Right. If that front desk person is not aligned with you and what you want, the patient will not be happy. And it does affect your personal brand. I think that's very powerful information that you're giving us.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're so right about what you just said. Yeah.
What do you think is a way to really differentiate a personal brand or a doctor's office from online or other competitors out there in the industry now?
You know, I think for comparing the in-person to the online, I mean, you really, online is something for a certain group of people, but it's difficult to mimic the in-person experience online. Now, if you're a doctor that has both in-person and online, you should definitely try to create that same experience. But if it's a situation of me purchasing glasses online versus purchasing them from a doctor in person, then that office needs to help me understand why I want to come there in person, right? So what is the benefit to me coming there? And maybe as an optometrist, look at what are the benefits to going online and then try to understand how you can give me an experience that's better. Why do I want to come in person? Do I get some special treatment? Do I get, I don't know, maybe I can make appointments more quickly, or maybe I can have appointments on the weekend. I don't know what that is, but you've got to help people understand why they want to come to you versus go online and purchase those things.
Yeah. I think your practice brand is what patients identify you as, and developing that brand is definitely going to differentiate yourself in the future as well. I just want to touch upon like brand image or brand identity.
Uh-huh.
Is that different than personal branding? And are logos important if doctors want to, you know, create business cards and things like that? Is that important in this branding whole thing?
Well, I would say from the standpoint of creating consistency, yes. You know, I think you have to start, though, with what does the brand stand for? What does your brand stand for? What does it want to be? Mm-hmm. And start with defining that, because really what usually ends up happening is when anybody starts any business, they immediately want to get a creative, amazing logo and a beautiful website. They jump right to it because that's the fun part, right? But what we don't want to do is sit and think about what do I stand for and what's my story and all that stuff, because that's not the exciting, sexy part. Yeah. But it has to start with that, and those things will actually inform the creation of the logo. So once you have those things defined, you can bring that to a logo designer and say, this is what I'm trying to convey. And then the logo designer can capture that knowing how you want to come across. But until you define what your brand's personality is and what your brand story is, it's difficult to give direction to a website designer and a logo designer. With that said, once you are at that point, you do want your logo and all your look and feel to be consistent, because once again, consistency in all ways is going to build trust with your audience. It's going to create this impression of this experience that is consistent everywhere you go, whether I go to your website to make an appointment, or I go call your office, or I come into your office. I'm going to always know that it's you, and it's the consistency is what builds trust with me.
Thank you so much, Diane, today for talking to us about personal branding. I think it's very insightful information that doctors can take and grow their practices and just grow themselves career-wise. So if doctors want to learn more, just go to the website, thebrandteacher.com. You can connect with Diane on LinkedIn, connect with Diane Diaz. Do you want to add any information for our doctors?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I love to talk about personal branding, so I'm glad you're bringing it to your audience, and I truly enjoyed talking about it. So as you said, you can connect with me on thebrandteacher.com. You can also email me at diane@thebrandteacher.com, and I'm also on Facebook at The Brand Teacher.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.